As I've always said, it seems like we were just here just a few hours ago, but I'm telling you, the week goes by quick, everything goes by fast, and here we are again back into God's house that we can come together as a body of believers and we can hear the Word of God, be encouraged by it, and to know that God is with us every step of the way. I have been doing a series for the past few weeks, and it's a God's Design series that we have been looking into. And today I want to look at sermon number 4, and the title of my message today is this: Who is the Head of the Church? Who is the Head of the Church? And I want us to look at this, and if you have your Bibles today, hold them up high. That's the sword of the Spirit. I know it's going to be projected. It's there in the pew. Go with me. We're studying out of the book of Colossians of the New Testament. Colossians, the first chapter, starting with the 18th verse, and we have been going verse by verse through the study of Colossians. And if you haven't read the book of Colossians, I do want to encourage you to read this as we go through the study of the book of Colossians. We're seeing clearly what the Apostle Paul is writing, what God's Word is saying to us, and how that we can be encouraged as believers into the Word of God. And let's look at this in Colossians, the first chapter, beginning with the 18th verse. God's Design series, sermon number 4, who is the head of the church? We're going to answer that question. Who is the head of the church? Let's look at verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence, and for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness, look at this, the fullness should dwell. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things are on earth, things in heaven, have made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Can I hear an amen to God's word? I want you to know today that God has clearly planned and he designed for his Son Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, that he be placed on this earth so that you and I could be spotless in Christ Jesus, and that you and I could have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ by his Son, through his Son, and in his Son, that we may be reconciled back to the Heavenly Father. I want you to know today that God clearly had you in mind. God clearly had me in mind. You're not an accident. You're not just merely existing. You're not just living in this life with whatever happens and whatever goes. No, the Lord has specifically designed you, created you to do his will, to do his purpose, and that he has a plan for your life. God has a great destiny for you to achieve. He's already got it planned. I've always said, and will say it again, God is already at the end of your life. He's just waiting for you to catch up. But in the process of life, He is wanting you to live the fullness that you could possibly live, that He wants to give unto you great and mighty things, because He has great and mighty things in store for you and I. And I thank God today that He has designed us to be the ones that we live for, and that we can demonstrate out God's grace and mercy to others that we come in contact with. The question today is who is the head of the church? A question that can also bring conflict, but yet the answer is declared by the Apostle Paul. He declares that Christ is the head of the church. A pastor is a shepherd, but the good shepherd is Jesus Christ. And a shepherd will only go so far, but when Jesus is the great shepherd, He is the head of the church. He is the groom, we are the bride, and yet He is over us, and one day He's going to receive His bride because He's the head of His church. Why is Christ called the head of the church? Why does He merit this position? How should this affect local churches? How He merits the position is because God the Father sent Him over 2,000 years ago that you may have life and have it more abundantly, that He planned it, He executed, that His Son would come, and that we would be saved from sin, and that we could be in the plan that God has begun to do in our hearts, in our life. My first point today is this: Christ is to have preeminence in the church. Christ is to have preeminence. Preeminence is like to be number one, to be uno. Uno, number one, to be the one, that we look to, the one that's the author and the finisher of our faith, the one that died for us over 2,000 years ago to give you and I victory is by Him going through death, hell, and the grave, and arose on the third day, that's seated with the right hand of the Father. Therefore, now we have authority and we have victory in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul writes and says in Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. He is before all things. That means He is eternal. Hear me today. He is before all things means that He is eternal. He is the living one, meaning the firstborn from the dead. He is the living one. His resurrection proves His deity, Romans 1:4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. If He was not resurrected from the dead, there would be no need for us to be in church today. If He was not resurrected from the dead, there would be no need to claim a church. If God was not risen from the dead, Jesus Christ, then there'd be no need for Christianity. But praise be to the Lamb of God. He arose on the third day. He's seated with the right hand of the Father. And therefore we have victory on top of victory and power. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man what God has in store for those that love Him and is called according to His purpose. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. We have the power, folks. We have the strength. God is moving in a mighty way. He's moving in this universe. He's moving in the United States. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter how it looks. It does not change our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Things can be chaos. Things can be going on. But when we're in Christ Jesus, we have victory on top of victory, and God gives us the power. Hallelujah. His resurrection is also the sign of His authority. His authority. John 2 and 18 says, "And so the Jews answered and said to Him, 'What sign do you show to us, since you do these things?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.' And then the Jews said, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?' But He was speaking of the temple of His body. Therefore, when He had risen from the dead, His disciples remembered that He had said this to them, and that they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said." I want you to know today that people may look at you, they may look at different things that are going on in the world. And listen, there's some that may shake their fist at God and want to say, "Why are you allowing this? Why is this happening, God? Why is this?" I want you to know there's no surprise with the Heavenly Father. There's no surprise with Jesus Christ in what's going on in this world. God's word is being fulfilled every step of every day. When you wake up, we're getting closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that one day He will split the eastern skies, and He's coming back just like He said, for us to be right, be ready, and know that we must be on call, because Jesus Christ could come back today. But we have to be prepared, and we have to be ready. No earthly office approaches His position. Let me say it again. No earthly office approaches His position. We don't put our faith in man. We don't put our faith in government. We don't put our faith in things. We don't put our faith in other people, but we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the sustainer. He's the one that's going to sustain you every step of the way. Your mom may leave you, your daddy may leave you, your kids may leave you, your friends may leave you, but Jesus Christ will never leave you. He will be closer to you than a brother, than a sister, and He'll take you through the eye of the storm in your life. And things that you're dealing with, He will bring you through. And if He carries you in it, He's going to bring you out of it. And He will be the God that finds victory on top of victory. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know today that He has given gifts unto the church. Gifts for the church to operate. That's why, who is the head of the church? Jesus Christ is the head of the church. We're the body, but He is the head. And in the body, there are different parts of the body that functions within the church to become the church that Jesus Christ has what? As He has designed, as He has orchestrated, as He has made and created, that we may do the good works that He's called you and I to do. Listen, He clearly lets us know in Ephesians 4 and 11, "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." He begins to break down within the body what we are to do. There are some that are prophets, some that are evangelists, and some that are pastors, and some that are teachers. Everybody's not a pastor. You may come to this church, you may watch this church, but maybe you're not the pastor, okay? Maybe you're not called to be the pastor. I'm in the process right now. That's who I am. I'm a pastor. I'm a shepherd. There are some that are teachers, but everybody's not a teacher that God brings. Everybody's not a prophet. Everybody's not an evangelist. But God said, let these work within the church, that the church may be edified and that the body of Christ may be in full to its operation, so that it may do what Jesus Christ has called us to do and to be. Listen, these gifted people served Him within the church. They draw their authority not from within themselves, but they draw the authority from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ gives them the power. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us the power in demonstration of what He's already done, what He's already been through, and therefore you and I have victory through it all. Listen. They draw their authority from Him. Local authority must be carried out within love. We see that in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, which is called the love chapter. Yet the church leaders ought to be Christ-like in serving Him. Now the question would be, how Christ-like are we? How Christ-like are we? No, we're not Christ. We don't claim to be Christ, but we are to be like Christ. Now, I want you to see the difference here. We're not Christ. We're not claiming to be Christ, but we are to be like Christ. My second point today is this. Christ has made peace for the church. Christ has made peace for the church. Listen, there's no other, if you can't find peace in your local church, where else can you find peace? Because there's a lot of doom, gloom, and agony and defeat outside the four walls of a church. But if a church has not become a loving church, if they don't have the bond of love, and if they're not showing love and have the love, where else can they find peace? Christ has made peace for the church. Colossians 1 and 20, and by Him to reconcile all things to Him, by Him, whether things are on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. The Bible clearly says that if we're going to be the servant and the disciple of Christ, what we must deny ourselves and take up, not His cross, He's already bared the cross. We've got to take up our cross. You may say, well, Pastor, do you have a cross? Yes, we all have a cross that we must bear. We have a cross that we are to carry. We are to take up our cross and follow Him. But we've got to deny ourselves. Denying yourself is being on that cross. It's to have that cross on us and it being within us, because we're dying to the flesh, because we're crucified with Christ. Galatians 2 and 20. We are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We're living the crucified life daily. His blood paid for our sins. 1 Peter 1 and 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, for your aimless conduct received by traditions from your father, but with the precious, here it is, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. all sin was placed on the Lord Jesus Christ that knew no sin, but He took on all the sin, all of our wrong, all of our bad things. He took on it on Him on the cross so that you and I would be set free. Yet He knew no sin, but without blemish and without spot. He bought, listen now, He bought the church with His blood. Folks, He bought it for us. He died for us so that we would have life and have it more abundantly. Christ has reconciled us to Himself. This is made personal by faith. Romans 5 and 8. But God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When your mind wasn't on Christ, He still died for you. And much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. By the blood. What are you saying, Pastor? By the blood of the Lamb. By the shedding of the blood, you and I are set free. The sacrifice has been paid. The Greek word is called tetelestai, meaning that it is paid in full. It has been full. In other words, it has been nailed to the tree. Jesus Christ has nailed Himself to the tree, and the blood that came down off of Calvary's cross, pleased the Heavenly Father, even when His eyes could not see His Son, and He had to look away from His Son. And His Son cried out, Eli, Eli, labak sabachthani. He began to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because the Heavenly Father could not look upon sin because sin was placed on Him. But praise be to the Lamb of God. You and I have victory today because He went through death, hell, and the grave. He arose on the third day. He is seated with the right hand of the Father, and you and I have victory on top of victory. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It has been paid. Your sins have been paid. Your sins have been washed. They have been renewed by the blood of the Lamb. Listen, this faith brings peace with God. Romans 5 and 1, therefore having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The reconciliation made at the cross has affected all things. This includes all things on earth and in heaven, both experience and expectation. Nothing on earth or in heaven can separate us from His love. David said, King David said, Lord, if I make my bed in heaven, You're there. Lord, if I make my bed in hell, You're there. Lord, if it flies on the wings of a dove or flies on the wings of a bird, no matter where I am, Lord, You are there. There's nothing that you can do to be separated from God. And King David said, Lord, You're everywhere. I want You to know that's the love of God, for Him to be everywhere. That's the love of God that shows unto us that He's everywhere. He's not a God that forgets. He's not a God that says, oh, let me try this again. Oh, wait a minute, let me work on this. No, He's a God that's already there. It knows all, sees all, does all. He is all in all. Listen. Romans 8 and 38. For I am persuaded,
As the Apostle Paul writes, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Period. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Because God clearly says, I'm the height, I'm the depth, I'm the length. It don't matter what it is. There's not enough devils in hell that can stop the mighty moving of God, because He loves you, because He sacrificed His one and only Son that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we can stand on the promise. And we can stand firm on a foundation to know that Jesus Christ has built His church on the rock, and on the rock of salvation that you and I have. He's not building on sand, but He is building on rock. And He says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot and will not prevail. Hallelujah. Because it will stand the test of times. It has stood the test of times. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but He said, my word will never pass away. There's going to be a new heaven, there's going to be a new earth, but my word will stand the test of times. It doesn't matter. People can burn the Bible all they want. They can tear out the pages. They can scratch stuff out. But it still does not change the Word of God. It is our GPS. It is our roadmap to life on this earth. And it'll take us all the way into heaven. And it'll take us there forever, because we're going to be able to meet the Word face to face, because Jesus Christ is the Word. When He said it in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He dwelt among us. We're going to see the Word face to face, because one day He said, you will be like me when you see me, when I'm coming, hallelujah, through the eastern skies. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One day, we are faithful serving the Lord, we will see it come to pass. My. My third point today is this. Christ presents the church perfect in heaven. Now I want you to look at this with me. Christ presents the church perfect in heaven. I want you to know today that Jesus Christ was as human as you are today, humanity. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane and He prayed. And the Bible said that He prayed so hard that His sweat became drops of blood. And the human part of Him was saying, Lord, let this cup pass. Let this cup pass. I'm going to be going through what you're telling me, but Lord, let this cup pass. And He prayed and He prayed and He prayed and never heard back from the Father about skipping the cross and going a different direction. But all that Jesus said, the Son with submission said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. Lord, you see things much greater. Not my will, but your will be done. Knowing that the Heavenly Father was placing all sin, placing all iniquity, placing all hate, bitterness, everything was placed on the Lord Jesus Christ, because He was going to have to go to Golgotha. He was going to have to go and be crucified.
And through it all, God saw His Son through all of the crucifixion, saw all that He had to be, all that had to be done. And when He was on the cross, He said, God, it is finished. It is finished. It is finished. And when they took Him off the cross to put Him in the tomb, and when the Roman soldiers tried to seal the tomb, they thought they could really seal it well. But Jesus had told the disciples, I'll be back. And in 3 days, the tomb had rolled away. He arose, and for the 40 days, He was able to greet some of His disciples. He was able to see them. The Bible says he even ate broiled fish. He had time that He could spend a little bit with them for 40 days. But then after the 40 days, guess what happened? Jesus, what? He went back to the Heavenly Father. He ascended back to the Father. And when He ascended back to the Father, He was placed on the throne with the Heavenly Father, seated at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. And Christ, here's my third point. I was leading you right into it, giving you the background. And Christ presented the church perfect in heaven. In Colossians 1 and 21, and you know who once was alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. In other words, He went back to heaven. And He went before the Heavenly Father. As the Bible says, He sat with the right hand of the Father, and He told the Father, it has been done, it is finished. I am bringing now all that comes to know Me. I'm bringing them to You, Father, because all sin was placed on Me. And now they can be redeemed. They can be saved. And the Bible clearly says, blameless and above reproach in His sight. Our perfect Savior presents us perfect. Hear me today. Our Savior presents us perfect through Him. Aliens have been made part of God's family. In other words, we've been out everywhere. Enemies have become the recipients of His grace. Wicked ones have been reconciled to the Holy One. Sinners are presented unblameable by the head of the church. Faulty ones are presented unreprovable before the throne. Who can measure such grace or understanding of such love? We have been alienated, but now we are loved. We have been enemies. Now we have become recipients of grace. We have been the wicked ones, but now we're reconciled to the Holy One. We are sinners that are presented unblameable by the head of the church. Faulty ones are presented unreprovable before the throne. Who can measure such grace or understand such love? You and I cannot understand that. We can't grasp that. We can't grasp that. Why? Because our minds go back to where we want to judge everything. We want to judge it as we see it. We want this. We want that. We want that. We want this. This has got to happen. That's got to happen. Jesus came not to save just one generation. He did not come to save just two generations. He come to save all generations. He come to save all. Red, yellow, black, purple, pink, whatever. Jesus loves the little children. You remember the church nursery rhyme? Jesus loves the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. He's come to save all. He come to save the world, folks. And presented Himself before the Heavenly Father. The question today is this, in my closing. Does Christ have first place in our church? Does Christ have first place in our church? In our worship? Does He have first place? Does He have first place in our business? If not, why not? Listen, let's make Christ the head of our church and our lives. If not, let's let Christ be the head of our church and of our lives. There's a lot of times that we tell God what we're going to do, when we're going to do it, how we're going to do it, where we're going to do it. We even go into the process that sometimes that I don't need to bother You, God, because everything is going my way. I've got money, I've got family, I've got everything I need. I don't need You, God. But when I do, I'll call on You. Folks, we need God no matter what. We don't just need God just in the bad times. We need God in the good times. We need God all the time. We don't need God just on Sunday morning. We don't just need God just on Wednesday night. We need God through the weekdays. Because we don't know when God is going to call us home. In my closing today, my wife's cousin, his name was Mike. Such a great guy, Christian guy, loved the Lord. I had just saw him in July at a barbecue family gathering that we had for the 4th of July. Saw him there. Had a wonderful time, us eating barbecue, us meeting with the Baltnight family and other families as well. Had a great time. Never would I had ever thought that he would have had a massive heart attack. Guy not overweight, slim as a rail. Just great all around. But while he was out in the yard with his mom and dad, they were baling hay, and they were putting hay on a truck or a trailer. As they were baling hay, the mom and dad and Mike was there, and Mike says, "Something's going on. I'm feeling a little pain in my chest." And no more than he got that out of his mouth, his dad was right behind him, and Mike fell right into his dad's arms and died. Never came back. Never came back. They tried. He never came back. They waited for the coroner to get there to pick him up. And my wife was talking to his mother on the phone while she was looking at her dead son and said, "Mike is gone. My son is gone." And Tracy was asking her what all was going on, and she said, "He just slipped out." He said that he had a pain in his chest. We were putting hay on the trailer, and the next thing we knew is he fell back in Buddy's arms. That was his dad. And said he checked right out. Folks, I say all that to say this. You never know when your time is up. You never know. You've heard me say this. Today could be your last day in this church. You may never make it back another Sunday. You may never make it tomorrow. There's no promise. There's nothing of that guarantee. But here's the guarantee that we have. Is that we can accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Stand with me across the building today.